Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began teaching them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, this Mass, this day, All Saints Day, is the inspire event of the year. Who doesn't want to be inspired in these times? This day for the Holy Mother Church throughout the world, it is the inspire event of the year. And if I were to think of just one word that all of us deep down in our hearts want to be inspired to do, if we really think about it in our life, the things that most often inspire us to do is to imitate. Imitation. So if we could cling to one word, this All Saints Day, this Sunday of All Saints, cling to the word of imitation. Somebody once told me that imitation is one of the greatest forms of flattery, right? To flatter someone, that you want to imitate somebody. When I was in high school, I was blessed to have a friend of mine whose dad was the H-back, running back, and tight end coach for the Atlanta Falcons. Sorry, Panther fans. I grew up in Atlanta. But, I mean, that was prime time for us. I mean, my friend Ken came to all the football practices with Atlanta Falcons gloves on and all this stuff and cleats and all this stuff. He's like, "Wow, Atlanta Falcons," right? And one of my greatest heroes of the time growing up was Walter Payton, who got known for he's even got an award out for him on just how good of a person he was off the field. They called him Sweetness. And so I remember going out there, and we were at the Chicago Bears game. We were at one of the games, and we'd go on the field beforehand. We'd go through the locker room, high-five all the players. We'd go out on the field, and we're out on the field. And I remember just being able to go by, and it was one of the last years of Walter Payton playing. I was able to go, "Hey, Sweetness, how are you?" And, I mean, just a little teenage kid, he looked up, asked my name, and said, "Doing great. How you doing?" while he was stretching. Then all those players went into the locker room for their kind of final pep talk, right? We're here to be inspired. This is our spiritual pep rally of the week. Something greater than a football game. But they go in there for the final pep talk, and it was just Ken and I left out there. He was like one of the ball boys that wipe off balls. Left out on the field. He knew everybody on the field. And he goes, "Hey, go out for a pass." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Go out. Go to the end zone. Do a little post. Go to the end zone. I'm gonna hit you from the 20 going in." The stadium was packed. It was packed. I mean, it was like Fulton County Stadium, Atlanta Falcons. So I go out, do a pass, go for the corner. He throws it, and he had a perfect spiral, and then I caught it. And the stadium erupted. Ah! I mean, you would have thought that the two of us won the Super Bowl. I mean, it was just like, yeah, and then I spiked the ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for a teenager, that was a dream. I knew I wasn't going to play in the NFL. But are we inspired to imitate the greatest of all people of all time, Jesus Christ, to imitate Jesus? And is our goal to come running through that tunnel at the end of our life, running through that tunnel in that stadium of eternity with all those saints going, "Yeah! Yeah!" I'm not talking about a stadium like if you saw the Penn State game last night that was empty. I ain't talking about that type of game. It was empty. We're going to go to a different type of white out. The news was like, the white out last year was this at Penn State. It was crazy. And then it's, I'm not hitting the Penn State fans. I think I didn't even see who won it then. But I'm a Michigan fan. Don't worry, Ohio State fans. But we're going to a greater white out. The white out of heaven. And St. Paul speaks about, or not St. Paul, St. John in his reading speaks about likeness, being like God, imitating God. So today, you and I today, on this Inspire Sunday, this All Saints Sunday, we have an invitation today, an invitation from Jesus Christ. What is it? His invitation? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Piggybacking off of last Sunday, our universal call to love, our universal call to love as Jesus loved, is an invitation, my brothers and sisters in Christ, an invitation to imitate Jesus. Let me put it in his words. He looks at you and he looks at me as he did all the saints who went before us, and he says, you follow me. He makes it personal, as he did to St. Peter. He said, Peter, don't look over your shoulder. John, you, Peter, follow me. He says to Mary at the tomb, when she says, Rabboni, he calls her by name and says, stop clinging to me. I haven't ascended my Father yet and your Father yet. Don't worry, just go tell the others that I've risen and I'm with you and we're going to do it together, but you follow me. Mary, you follow me. And what happened? She goes back there and nobody believed that he rose. But she followed him. It's an invitation to imitate Jesus, invitation to follow Jesus. And he shows us the pathway. Because he is the way. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So what is the way of the Jesus? What is his pathway? It's laid out for us, the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. The blessedness. And it's looking beyond this life and the gridiron of the field that we're on, that we're battling for. Sometimes we fall in the mud. Sometimes we fumble. Sometimes we catch. Sometimes it's a touchdown. Sometimes it's great joy. But we're in it. The Holy Spirit's coaching us. We're part of a team, and we got fans in heaven that are cheering for us. They've already arrived. They're there. And Jesus shows us the way in the Beatitudes. I don't have the time. I wish I had the time. I'd go through every Beatitude, and I'd link every Beatitude that Jesus preached on the Mount of Beatitudes that beautiful day, and I'd tie it with the help of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, servant of God, blessed, to one of the seven last words on the cross. This is a follow-up to the Lent mission we did last year. I think it's still on our website. You can go back there and you can get it and you get the whole thing. But Jesus said from the Mount of the Beatitudes on that beautiful day, he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. The meek shall possess the land. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is self-control, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Think of those who you've seen who have been meek in their life, who have had self-control. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. They shall possess the boardrooms and the schools and the sport teams. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. And Jesus, from the cross, practiced what he preached when he, meek and humble of heart, his first words from the cross, mustering up the strength and the air to breathe to say it, Father, Abba, Daddy, forgive them. They know not what they do. He said that for me, he said that for you, and he said it for people of all times. If he can say it, if we don't have the strength to say it, we ask him to say it for us because we want to imitate him. We want to be meek and humble of heart. Jesus, from the Mount of Beatitudes, and I'm only going to hit two of them, but we should memorize these Beatitudes. We should memorize these seven last words. It's the way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. How many people are looking for justice and righteousness and all that stuff, and they want to be satisfied in these times? Jesus, from the cross, practiced what he preached when he cried out, "I thirst. I thirst. I thirst for souls. I thirst for every soul." He's crying out to you and me right now. "I thirst for every soul walking in the streets of Charlotte, independent if they're following me, independent if they want to imitate me, independent if they like me." And what I'm telling you through the Beatitudes is, blessed are you if they persecute you, calumniate you, utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of what? Because of me. Because, not me, because Jesus. Because you're trying to imitate me, Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. How quick, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm with you on this. I am with you on this in such a big way. But how quick our knees start to buckle when we're going to have to live something like that. And it may be small. And maybe when you feel like you're persecuting your family because you, for the third night in a row, are setting the table or washing the dishes or doing whatever. But when we let ourselves be nailed to the cross out of love for others, we imitate Jesus and we bring those fruits from our family into our parish, into our community. Some will accept him, some won't. So Jesus shows us the way. Jesus inspires us to imitate him, to follow him. And the saints, all saints, inspire us by their lives and their way of imitating Jesus independent of their age. And today we celebrate all saints, but you know what? We celebrate all the unknown saints today. The unknown saints. The church doesn't know, but God knows. We're not celebrating St. Francis of Assisi or St. Teresa of Calcutta or St. Martin of Porres or St. John the Evangelist. Church already canonized us. But heaven is flooded. We got to believe it with all the unknown saints. I tell you, I mean, I could just go on and on and on, but every year, my brothers and sisters in Christ, our beloved Lord provides me with incredible moments of grace that push me on when I feel weak, when I don't think I can journey, push me on through the inspiration and example of so many of us among us who cross that finish line of this life and the next in such an amazing way. I could rattle off probably 10 this year, if not more. I'm talking about hospital visits. I'm talking about going in there and ministering last rites and seeing tears come from eyes and conversions in hearts. I'm talking about transformations of people whose bodies are weak, yet their souls are strong, and it's so glorified, it's so radiant, it's so beautiful that when we put on those spiritual goggles of where we're going, it's so inspiring. Let me speak to you too, okay? I'm just going to speak to you. And you know what? I don't have the grace to beatify and canonize and all that stuff, but our beloved Lord knows. But we can all see people in our life who went out like rock stars, who went out like superstars, who went into the next life. And for sure, when they went into that stadium, it was like, wow. And what I mean by that is when I walk away from moments with families and moments, and I walk away and I am inspired by that, in other words, my prayer oftentimes in the car is, Lord Jesus, please just let me go half of the way that person went. Oh, that'd be great. A lot of times what I like to say when I see people in hospitals, when I said, do you want a blessing? They said, of course I want a blessing, Father. I said, how about biggie size? Biggie size. They're like, what's that? Confession, anointing the sick, viaticum, food for the journey. All right, put it in their language. They want it. They just go out like rock stars. It's amazing. Speak of two. Many of you know Allie Skinkle and Chris Skinkle. Maybe you don't. Allie suffered 7+ years with cancer. I met her when I first came here. I knew her. I went to Belmont Abbey with her and her husband. And to have her come up to me when she found out she was terminal and that was it, and to go visit at the home, to kind of stop there where things went, but the power of the strength of that woman to be able to say to me, to her family, and to her friends, I'm just changing my zip code. I'm just changing my zip code. And the worry of people in that moment when they're going to the next life is not so much themselves. They're ready. It's the ones they love. They're changing their zip codes, and they're batting for us. They're cheering for us. So she went out like a rock star. Beautiful. Little signs come. Her husband comes the next day after he passes, comes down the grotto. I'm doing the outdoor confessions. He gets out of the car, big hug, tears coming down, all that stuff. I don't think Chris would mind me saying this. Then the sky breaks open and the sun shines right on Mary, right through him. Coincidence? I don't believe that. God incidence? Yes. Believe. Believe in the saints. Believe that life doesn't end. Death is a change. It's not an end. And that's where we're going. We are called to be citizens of heaven. Second story. And the family's here right now. I'm not going to single them out, but I'm going to tell you, Adelaide, your brother's wearing his pajamas in heaven right now. I know he's wearing those pajamas in heaven. No doubt. This boy, Adam, at the age of 2, a parishioner of ours, wasn't able to speak, and little by little, due to the illness that he had, he passed at the age of 7 this year. But he passed with having received his first Holy Communion from Father Frank, thanks to his loving parents who called Father Frank in the home. And I had the incredible, immense grace to be able to offer confirmation to this child. And to see the strength of the parents, supported by the church, for them to be able to say, Father, everybody's talking about this COVID shutdown and sheltered in. We've been that way for 5 years. We've been that way for 5 years. There is no doubt in my mind, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as someone who's struggling to imitate Jesus Christ, that that 7-year-old boy is not in heaven, in glory, full of a joy that this world can never, ever, ever offer. And that boy is praying for you and praying for me. No doubt. No doubt. And even in the life of a 7-year-old boy who could not speak, but spoke volumes through his eyes, volumes that inspired me, he's a saint. Saint in heaven. We got a lot of friends in heaven. So it's an imitation of Jesus Christ. Inspired to an imitation of Jesus Christ. The way of the Beatitudes. It's an following those saints who were inspired to imitate Jesus Christ. And the invitation to you and me, my brothers and sisters, Christ, this day, who am I going to imitate this week? Who am I going to imitate this week? Jesus? How? Place it on the altar. Put it on the altar right now, on the paten and in the chalice, and let it be offered up in the one perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, united with the prayers of all the saints in heaven. And after this Mass, let's go out there. Let's go out there into our city and imitate the one we desire to imitate, Jesus Christ, the Lord in life of history.